Thank you so much, Paul, choir, and everyone that has had a part in making this already a glorious service of worship. I am just delighted to be back with you again, and I thought that my son would never take a vacation or be gone so I could come back. So I've knocked him down with hints, but he didn't take them very well. But today is the day, and the Lord's given us this great opportunity, and I'm glad that I can be with you on this very special occasion. I believe that as Americans, we owe it to one to another, and we owe it to the families of those who have lost loved ones to support them with our prayers. And I thank Paul for this moving experience this morning of bringing this to the attention of the Church of the Lord Jesus. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to feel the presence of the Lord in a place when you come to worship. It is a great and glorious experience to know that God is in this place. And I trust that these moments that we spend together will be profitable. They will be glorifying to the name of Jesus Christ. And we'll go away after a while saying it's been good. No, it's been better than the best to be in the house of the Lord and feel His presence. This morning, the Lord has laid upon my heart a very strange message, but one that I am compelled by the Holy Spirit to bring to you because of the condition of our world today. I want to speak to you on the subject, a house divided against itself. And for that message, I would ask you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12. And in a few moments, I want to read the context for the text that I will read and reiterate. It begins at verse 24 of Matthew chapter 12. I have a very dear friend in Cleveland, Georgia. He is a retired brigadier general, and I remember one time asking him, I said, General, if we were to get a word from the grave from those men and women that have died protecting our country, what would they say and what would they want said when it comes time to memorialize them? He thought for a moment and he said, I believe that they would say, don't forget and don't regret. And I thought that was good because every time that a soul is lost, one is given to the Lord Jesus Christ to bring peace to our country and to our world. And I am saddened this morning the fact that we're living in a world that's divided. We're living in a world that is filled with turmoil and all these things are happening. But it was in the day of Jesus that he had to address such topics of tremendous controversy. You follow me as I read beginning at verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this man doth cast out demons by the name of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city and house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he spoils his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scatters abroad. In these words of Jesus Christ, when he said, a kingdom divided against itself will come to desolation, And a city and a house divided against itself will not stand. He was saying to us, there is a potential, there is a problem, and there's also a penalty that must be faced and borne by those individuals in our society that forget God and allow a division to come within themselves. I want to just use this particular words of Jesus himself, and I want to just discuss with you for a few moments four particular elements of society that have come bombarded because of division. Now, when Jesus mentions a kingdom, he was not talking about the kingdom hall. He was not talking about the materialistic things that make up the kingdom. He was talking about people. When Jesus talked about a city, he was not talking about a courthouse. He was talking about people. And when he was talking about a house, he was talking about people. Therefore, Jesus was talking about the elements of society that either stand and understand and withstand the urge to be divided within themselves, or else they become victims of all that can happen that God hates in this world, and that is division. So I want you to see these four particular things. First of all, I want you to see an individual divided against himself. And second of all, I want you to see a home, a marriage that's divided against itself. And thirdly, I want you to see a country that is divided against himself. And then fourthly and finally, I want you to see a church and churches divided against themselves. Let's look at them first of all briefly. The individual can be divided within themselves. And I believe this happens when an individual relaxes their priority understanding of what is right and wrong, and they stop giving to themselves the authority and the power to choose right and not wrong. I believe it's when the devil comes to an individual and tempts them to do exactly what they know they should not do. And in that particular case, an individual can be divided in their allegiance and what they believe and what they do. This is seen in the very first chapter of the book of Genesis. In the first couple, Eve was a person that knew exactly what God had told them to do. God said, I have given you all this. The beauty thereof, I have given you these trees. We have given you everything that is good for food, and you can partake of every one of them except one. And that is the tree that is in the center of the garden. You shall not eat of that tree. She knew what God said. And then the devil came and questioned God and said, did God say that the day that you ate of that tree that you would die? God knows that you would not die. God knows that your eyes would be open and you would see as he sees and know as he knows. Therefore, it is up to you. And in that very moment, Eve became the first individual in this world that was divided against herself. And she took of the fruit. She ate it. She gave unto her husband. And therefore, sin, the sin of division, entered into this world. I can assure you that it is something that we need to understand, and we need to have it utmost in our mind that James said in the little book that bears his name, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A man that is divided within himself, a woman that's divided within themselves, they do not know what their loyalty is and where it lies. They do not know the restraint that comes necessary to be a born-again child of God, witnessing by our life as well as our lips. And therefore they become, as of most people, most miserable because they're divided. They're not unified. An individual can be divided within themselves. But second of all, there is that home that can be divided. The husband and the wife can be divided because of the fact that there are those obstacles, there are those opposing viewpoints that do not come to a settlement of security and what it ought to be. And therefore, in their disagreement, they become disagreeable. They become hurtful. They've caused hurt with one another by what they say, what they do, and what they do not do. And all of these things can come and build a barrier, a wall in a household, and it will cause havoc to everyone that enters therein. The homes of this nation are under attack today like never before. And I believe that God knows in heaven that the devil would rather have the home than anything else. He's pretty satisfied with most of the churches that are just at ease in Zion on the face of this earth. But he wants the home. He wants the father so that the father cannot give instruction to the children. He wants the mother that cannot nurture those children as she should. And if the devil gets the homes of America, then I can assure you we are headed for desolation faster than ever before. There needs to be an understanding. There needs to be something that would be put in place so that husbands and wives and fathers and mothers could come to the understanding and resolve conflict so that they can go on about the business of being exactly what God wants them to be and what they should be in this world. The thing that I have found while I was doing marriage and family therapy is the number one thing that causes couples to be divided is a misunderstanding and no communication. They just don't understand one another, and they seemingly don't have the courage to just ask, what are you saying, what are you meaning, and what are you doing, and what is trying to do to our family? And therefore, they just go their separate ways, and many of them wind up in the halls of divorce. Many of them will abandon their responsibility and go out in this world and be everything in the world but what God wants them to be as a family of God. I don't know about you this morning. I don't know whether or not there is something that is in your life as an individual that has divided you and has divided you between your conscience and your understanding and your determination to live the Christian life. But if it is, I want to ask you this morning, by the grace of God, you destroy that strong man. You get rid of that strong man, and then you can be free and you can be happy and abundant in this world. I say to couples that are married, if there is a disagreement between you, you get it settled, and you do that on your knees. You do that with your open book of the Word of God, and knowing exactly that God has the answer for every problem that you face. If you'll just open your eyes, open your heart, and let him come to you and be the one that will reconcile and bless you and make you a blessing to those children instead of a divided household. Yeah, there's individuals that are divided, and there are families that are divided. But the third is a church, not a church, but a community or a country that's divided. And folks, I'll tell you this. I don't have to tell you that our country, America, the one we love so much, is in trouble today. And it seems as though that the trouble is deepening every hour. It seems as though that we're the relaxing of the moral essence of our understanding has caused the devil to come in, and there has happened things in this world we never thought would ever happen. Who would have ever thought 35, 40 years ago that schools would have no prayer ever uttered in them? Who would have ever thought that they would try to take the Ten Commandments off of the courthouse wall? Who would have ever thought that something like that could have ever happened? But it has happened. And I'll tell you this, it's happening each and every day, and we don't understand the real significance of it. But I do know this, that on March the 21st, the year 2010, on a Sunday night, the lawmakers of this country passed legislation that divided this country as deeply as it was divided on April the 12th, 1861, at 4:30 in the morning when the first shot was fired on Fort Sumter in Charleston, South Carolina, beginning the Civil War. I hope that we as Americans and we as a nation, we have come beyond the fact that the division does not necessarily mean war, but the war of minds rages in this country. The war of minds is unbelievably having its toll upon people who once had a desire to see the country divided spiritually in order to be factually spiritual. But I'll tell you, today our country is divided. And so many people are looking for someone and something to just to blame for this. And I say to you this morning with shame in my own heart, don't blame the politicians, because I don't know where you stand on this matter of health care reform. But it does not matter what you feel about that. The problem is it's divided America. And that division is going to continue until somebody realizes the fact that the church had better wake up and do something. Don't blame the politician. Don't blame the president. Blame us. Blame the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us in this word exactly what he wanted to happen in this world. He has given us the way to do it, a way to care for people. And yet we have, over the years, we have relaxed our moral authority. We've relaxed our moral essence. And the whole world has seen that we are not what we say we are. We're not what we're doing. We act as if 2 Chronicles 7:14 had never been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We actually don't pray. We don't seek the face of God. We don't turn from our wicked ways. Therefore, God says, if you don't pray and humble yourself and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, if you don't do that, I'll not hear from heaven and I'll not heal your land. You see, God has promised a healing for America if God's people will do what God says. Now, today we have a lot of people that are looking for answers. And I'm afraid that so many of them are looking for answers in the wrong way. No, I'm not one of these that want to get out on the sidewalk and carry a placard. I'm not one of those that believe in that, but I'll tell you what I do believe in. I believe that I can be a part of a movement to where we can fall down on our face before God and cry out to God, we've sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. Have mercy upon this nation and begin praying for God to intervene. Because I've got good news for you this morning. God is still on the throne. He is still in charge of this world. And he's in charge of America the Beautiful. And God has the capacity to bring back into this nation everything that he's desired to have it from the foundation of the earth. God can do it. But I wonder how much we want reconciliation. I wonder how much we are willing to pay the price for us to see the things of God return to this nation in a way that we know that it ought to be. I wonder how much we do. It's time to wake up. It's time to stand up. And it's time to cry out to God and bring this country back to its knees. And therefore, God will heal the nation. But the Bible said, the nation that is divided against itself shall come to desolation. I don't know how many of you are a student of Scripture, especially the prophetic Word of God. I don't know how many of you read the book of the Revelation. But if you will read the 17th and the 18th chapter of the book of the Revelation, you will find out that America is not included in the 10-king confederation that will be upon this earth when Jesus comes again. There is no evidence that there will be a nation to the west. There will not be a significance to a king of the West. It's all the kings of the East. Kings of like the Babylonian captivity comes alive. The Roman Empire comes alive. The Medo-Persian kingdom comes alive. And all of these kingdoms, but there's not one from the West. Now, I'm not foolish enough to try to tell you what happens to America, but I know this. God said in his word that the kingdom or the nation that does not fear God and it is divided against itself will come to desolation. What will be it? What will be our desolation? I believe we, the Christian church, we actually answer that question by what we believe, what we do, and to be ashamed of what we do not do. It is time to seek the Lord till he come and rains righteousness upon us. And I believe God will, in his own way and in his own time, he will bring back to America that which she was founded upon, and that is the land of the free, the home of the brave, and a nation that fears God and worships him in spirit and in truth. I believe that. An individual can be divided and be restored. A home can be divided and can be restored. A country can be divided and can be restored. But the fourth one that I bring to your attention this morning is a church that is divided will not stand. Folks, I am proud to say that I am a Southern Baptist. I've been a Southern Baptist all of my adult life, and I know this, that looking at the actions of the Southern Baptist Convention back over the years, is there is a leaving of the emphasis, the main thing, and that is to tell a lost and dying world about the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and burial and resurrection. I believe that so many times we have put our eyes on the difficulties and the differences that divide us, and therefore we let those things take precedent over our own knowledge of what God would have the church to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that it's time for the church to realize that God is the one God, God is the only God that can make a difference in this world, and we either do it His way or our way will prove to be futile. It will prove to be destructive, and it will not stand. I have in the past 5 to 6 years been privileged to be a part of helping churches that are without pastors. And folks, I'll tell you this, some of them I actually tremble as I would go in and try to preach the word and love them. I would come to the place to where I didn't know whether or not it was going to be possible that the cause of Christ would literally be settled in that church. But thanks be unto God, by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the people realizing from whence they had fallen, they came together, they got on their knees, and God blessed them. And in that very moment that they repented and received in Him anew and afresh, God opened the windows and showed them, Pastor, that He wanted to come and be there. I've seen it with my own eyes, and I thank God for what I feel in this church. I thank God for the unity that you have. I thank God that in the days to come, that whatever comes to us, whatever is on the horizon for America, you have a church family. You have a church that has sense enough to know that this altar needs to be filled. This church needs to be filled with people that love the Lord and will go out and live what they profess, so that the lost and the dying world that will begin asking the question, what shall we do? They'll come to the realization that Jesus Christ is the answer, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ can be that vehicle in this lost and dying world. Now, what I'm about to say, I don't say it facetiously. I know your pastor. I've known him a long time. And I know that sometimes he can be weird. He gets that from his mother. But folks, listen to me. He would lay down His life for each and every one of you today. He loves you that much. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I was with Him. I was in constant communication with Him during those days and the hours that He literally struggled and bled and prayed to God that God would show Him exactly what He wanted Him to do. Whether or not it would be God's will that He leave a thriving church that was making records in the Pennsylvania Baptist Convention, would He leave that and He would come south? And I know this, it wasn't an easy decision. And I know exactly the heart that He had, because one of the greatest honors that my son has ever given to me is he calls me his pastor. And I came to him and I prayed with him, and we prayed until God came through. And one day, hallelujah, God pinned back the curtains. And He showed him His will, and He pointed to this church, and God called him to you. Therefore, he became your servant. You became His people. This became His field of service. You became His all in all, and therefore, His love for God, His love through the Lord Jesus Christ extended to you. He would die for you in a heartbeat. Therefore, this church has everything that is ready to be used to the glory of God. This church is capable of going out of here united in the love of God and united in one another and storm the gates of hell, because Jesus said when He established His church, He said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And you've got an opportunity to tell this community, to tell this world that there's a hope where it seems hopeless. There is something that is good in the midst of all that's bad. And I can assure you this, that when the time comes, and it's coming, that you actually wonder what will be on the tomorrow, you'll be glad that you have a place called Liberty Hill Baptist Church and a family that loves one another. You'll be glad to assemble yourself on any given day and any given night and to pray for this country like you've never prayed before. You'll be glad that you're a part of that. And then there will be those that will be asking, what will we do? And you can tell them where they can go to find peace that passeth all understanding. I want you to hear it one more time. A kingdom divided against itself will come to desolation. A city divided against itself cannot stand. And a country divided against itself, it cannot stand. But you take that negative connotation and you turn it around. And that is, the country that is united in God will survive and thrive. The home united in God will not only survive but thrive. And the city, the church, united in the love of God will stand because they understand and they can withstand in the evil days. And when Jesus comes and breaks through the blue and comes back, we can say, thanks be unto God for His marvelous gift. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. And God will do all things well. And He'll do it all right. And I am wondering, are we the people of God, are we ready for what's going to happen? I remind you of this, that the Bible said that judgment will begin at the house of God. And I'm wondering, am I speaking to an individual this morning that would have to say, preacher, I've got to admit it, I am divided. I'm divided against what I know I should do, and I'm divided as to what I do and I do not do. I'm divided in this particular section of my life. I'm divided. Then I say to you, today you get united through God in Christ Jesus and you'll be all right. I ask this morning, is there a home? Is there a husband and a wife that are divided in their concept of things that should be in the home? Are there obstacles that you have not overcome? Then I say to you, the altar is the place to come and you get right with God and God will make right your home and God will bless you. In this country that we love, I believe that we can do one of two things. We can pray like we've never prayed before. And second of all, we can be good citizens and good Christians and let our walk be our talk and our talk our walk. And let the people of this world know who we stand for and what we stand for. Yes, that means going to the poll and vote. Yes, it does mean going to the poll to elect officials and our president. It means you being what God wants you to be. And God will in His own time and in His own way, He will honor everything that is done by every Christian in this world that does it according to the teaching of the Word of God. God didn't intend for us to be the master of our own destiny. God did not intend for this country to be the country that would abide by its own laws, because the law of God has been given and there's 10 commandments that God could use to make a nation right with Him and right with one another. It's just a matter of whether or not we will give ourselves to God or we'll give ourselves to mammon and materialism. This church today could say in a unified effect, I don't know what's coming tomorrow, but I know who holds it. And I know He knows. And God grant us the strength. God grant us the stability of our mind and our heart to stand and understand and withstand so that the Jesus Christ that we know is the Savior and Lord of our life can be everything that we need to tell a lost and a dying world that Jesus saves. A house divided against itself. It can't stand, but united in God, it'll stand the test of time. And throughout the endless ages of eternity, God will be glorified. How is it with you? Because you see, this movement of a return to God, a return to His Word, it's got to start somewhere. Why not here? It's got to start in someone. Why not you? Got to start sometime. Why not now? God, we've sinned. And I'm sorry. Make me an instrument, a channel of Your blessings. And God will be ready for whatever comes on any given tomorrow. We'll be ready for Jesus to come. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word, infallible, inerrant. I thank You that You give us the roadmap to glory. You give us answers to problems, and You give us solutions that we need so desperately. And God, we pray that right here in this church, that you would do a great and glorious work, and the unity that they love now would become their strength. And God, if there ever should be a time that they need to bind the strong man, then I can assure you, you'll help them to do it. And God, there will be this country that can be brought back to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, so that those who today we honor and remember, they will not have died in vain, but that the liberty that comes with the Lord will be something that we can love throughout the end of ages of eternity. Bless now in these closing moments. And I pray that if there is one that would say, I'll begin, I'll be a part of the readiness, the willingness to be on guard, to be led of the Holy Spirit when it comes, I'll be ready. And I thank you in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 799. You'll see it, America the Beautiful. And if you feel led of the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to be standing here. The altar is open. If you feel like that this is a time to make it brand new for you, your family, your home, your church, your country, you be the one to begin the movement that will end up in glory. Let's stand together. We'll begin to sing and you come.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for am the praise of grain, for purple mountain majesties, above fruited plain. America, America, God shares praise for me, and found by good with brotherhood from sea to shore.
And Brother Max, thank you for being here today and delivering that sermon to us. As we close, I'm going to ask, if you've served and or are currently serving in our armed forces, would you raise your hand just a moment? We're not going to applaud right now, but what I want you to do is look around and see these people And I'm going to do just like the young man did this morning in the sermon I heard earlier. You go to one of these people, at least one of these people, and personally tell them thank you for their service. We're going to sing together the chorus, Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. And do remember to be kind and tell someone about Jesus. We have that freedom. And then as we close, I'm going to ask Brother Gordon Wimberly if he will pray for us as we close. Let's sing together, and then Gordon, you pray.
Oh.